saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there, with a colt beside her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away."
This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet, say to daughter Zion, "See your king come to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road.
The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven."
The crowds answered, "This is Jesus." When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee."
So I've been to Hidden Acres Camp for their summer camp twice now, and I'm planning to go again this summer. A couple of my favorite things to do there are rock climbing and going to this swimming raft thing. Once I pass the swim test. I've loved hanging out with people and making friends. It is a really fun place. I remember once when there was a giant tag game between the kids and the leaders. It was a lot of fun. Another thing was almost every week, I think, they throw someone in the lake. It's called ponding, one of my favorite things, probably the most. Another thing I like is singing camp songs with everyone. The weeks there have been a highlight of my summers for sure.
Hi, my name is Jordan, and I do a program every Monday at Hidden Acres called CASP. We do we go for walks, we do crafts, and we do devotionals and singing. Every time we bake, Chris Pot will come to get a snack. In the summertime, I go to Hidden Acres for SIAC, which is a camp for young adults with disabilities. One of the things that I love about Hidden Acres is the deep connection to God and the staff. One of my memories is doing morning watch in the mornings, and the wacky campfires in the evenings.
Yeah. Thank you, Jordan and Luke. And I'm going to invite Amanda and Chris up. And as we're singing this morning, you have palm branches. And I invite us to wave them enthusiastically as offerings of praise to God. Let's stand together if you're able.
Thank you. The next one's a camp favorite. So there's a people that know it that have been to camp, young kids and older, if you'd like. If you know the Actions to My Lighthouse, please come up. And we're going to sing it together. I encourage us all to do the actions if you'd like.
You are the peace in my troubled sea. Oh, you are the peace in my troubled sea. In the silence you won't let go. In the questions your truth will hold. Your great love will lead me through. You are the peace in my troubled sea. Oh, you are the peace in my troubled sea. My lighthouse, shining in the darkness, I will follow you. Oh, my lighthouse, I will trust a promise, you will carry me safe to shore. Darkness, I will follow you. Oh, my lighthouse, I will trust a promise, you will carry me safe to shore.
Thanks, everyone, for participating. It is this reminder of just what that loud Hosanna sounded like as Jesus was going on donkey into town. What was that Hosanna like? And I think you did really well this morning. It makes me want to go to camp. Okay, kids, come on up. This is our last candle on our Lenten log that is shining today. So, what does it mean when there is just one candle left, Claire?
It means it's the last day until Easter, last Sunday till Easter.
And what happens in this week before Easter? Why are we going to blow out a candle today? Yeah.
Because it's the time of darkness, and then because, like, it's a day that Jesus died.
Yes. And so this is what we've been doing this whole time in Lent. It seems like such a sad thing to do that we're journeying into the darker days. But when we journey into the darker days, we know that light is going to come again. So we look forward to Easter Sunday. But today, Ellen is going to help you blow out these candles. And as a congregation, we really want to say thank you, kids, for leading us in our time of Lent this year. It's been super meaningful, so thank you.
Okay, good morning, my friends. We are going to blow out the last candle, the last one. Look, it's the smallest because it's been burning the longest. Yes. I'm sorry, pardon? I can't actually hear you, so that's okay. Thank you. Okay, are you ready? We need to warm up. Are you ready? We're going to do a deep breath. Ready? We're going to count in. I'm going to hold it for 3 seconds. Ready? And blow out. Okay, I think we're ready. Okay. Okay, on the count of three, we're going to blow out this candle. Ready? 1, 2, 3.
It doesn't work.
Oh, no, it didn't work.
Because it isn't.
I can't believe it. You guys, it didn't work again. Okay, I'll try better. I'll try harder. Okay, ready? On the count of three. 1, 2, 3. Oh, you did it. Okay, that's it. There's no candles on now. Thanks, everyone.
So we want to thank our children. And on Easter Sunday, all of us are invited to bring something to decorate. This will be lit again, but you're invited to bring something. Children, you're invited to bring something, and we hope you will participate in bringing light into this place. So children can go, and then youth are going to hang out for a little while longer. No, actually, I'm wrong. Youth can head out with Daniel. Sorry. We've got such a change Sunday. Okay. Chris and Amanda.
If you're able and would like to, please stand with us and we'll continue worship. I was going to invite the kids up to do actions, but they left. So Be a Sower is another popular one at camp. And I think of last summer, I know Chris had said some of the moments that were like, some of the kids sang the loudest was, he had a really cool moment with his song. I don't know if you remember telling me that, but, and I think what a beautiful song to have kids singing so loudly, Be a Sower. So let's sing this together.
Jesus knows.
with our neighbors, we will see. To make changes, God shows us how. Be humble and gentle and always keep looking for peace. God makes the sun rise on the good and the evil. Rain fall on the rocks and the weeds. Let's be loving to one another. Join in God's circle of peace. God makes the sun rise on the good and the evil. Rain fall on the rocks and the weeds. Let's be loving to one another. Join in God's circle of oxygen, my very breath, the source of life, the source of rest, and oh, I need you. You're the wind that fills these fragile sails. Carry me through crashing waves, and oh, I need you. Breathing you in, Yahweh, Yahweh, I'm breathing you in, Yahweh, Yahweh. Presence this morning, we thank you that you are here with us. We thank you that we can
sing Hosanna. We can proclaim that. We can sing our praise and our worship to you this morning. Thank you that you are a God who loves us deeply, who cares for us deeply, who journeys with us, and again is present with us this morning. So we thank you. Amen. Let me grab a seat. Good morning again. Oh yes, there's our logo. It's a little bit strange standing here and not there, but I am very thankful and excited and privileged to come and share with you all this morning about camp and invite others to come and share about their experiences. We've already heard some who have shared as well. So I'm really thankful that you've invited me here to share a little bit more. And I know many of you have heard lots or been connected to camp over the years, but we're excited to share a little more in depth. But to get us started, I'm going to invite you to join me in a little activity. And I'd like to find out who has been to Hidden Acres before. So if you have participated in a retreat, either a women's retreat, and I was going to say youth retreat, but there's not many youth in here anymore. But if you've participated in a retreat at Hidden Acres, I invite you to stand up. Excellent. That's a good number of people. If you have been involved or joined us for our church camping weekends at Hidden Acres, either stay standing or join us standing. Okay. Or if you haven't, you could sit down. Doesn't really matter. If you've been to a worship service at camp on a Sunday morning or afternoon, you can join us standing. Okay, hasn't changed very much. If you've been on staff at Hidden Acres at any point in time, so if you haven't, you can sit down. If you have, you can stand up. Okay, there we go. If you've been to our chicken barbecue fundraiser, the second Tuesday of every June. Excellent. And finally, if you have been a camper at Hidden Acres, and again, I was thinking that maybe there'd be a few youth or such, but there's, yeah, excellent, excellent. Perfect. Thank you very much. Thank you for your participation this morning, just to help us gauge who has, over time, been connected with camp or not. There's something pretty unique and special that happens at camp. But when you think about it, camp is kind of a crazy idea. For many weeks of the summer, we take a group of a random group of 80 kids, somewhere between the ages of 8 and 14. We mix them up in groups that stay in cabins, each of which has a couple of older teenagers or young adults that provide leadership and care for that group. They participate in a bunch of activities that are often perceived as quite risky, that are run by yet another group of older teenagers or young adults. There's so much potential for things to go wrong. There really is. Yet, week after week, summer after summer, we could share story after story of how camp has impacted and changed lives. Just this past week, can't cry and talk at the same time. Just this past week, I got an email from somebody who had been a camper back about 10 or 15 years ago and worked at camp for a summer, very unexpectedly out of the blue. I really wish I had Terry's gift of talking and crying at the same time. I always marvel at it. I can't do it, though. I get really squeaky. But she shared with me, and she said, as her experience as a camper, she said, "Man, camp truly saved my life." I did not think I would get emotional this morning. I read this so many times, and still. I still sing camp songs every day and just think about it all the time. I truly don't think I'd be the person I am today without it. And then she continued on about her staff experience, and she said, thanks for taking a chance on me. I knew I wasn't the most stablest back then due to home issues, but reflecting back on it all, camp was my escape. As a camper and counselor, I loved being there with all the loving energy. God is truly there protecting everyone, and it's one of the safest places I've ever been. Whew. So, as a staff team, we spend a lot of time training and talking and learning about how to mitigate and manage the risks of all the activities that we participate in. We have our checks and balances like applications and reference checks, interviews and police record checks to ensure our staff are safe people who will care well for our campers. We collect lots of information from our campers and use that information to group them into cabins and groups so that they can do the best that we can to set them up for successful connections and where friendships can be formed. We do as much as we can to take this crazy idea of camp, manage the risks, and create opportunities for lives to be changed. And of course, it's not just our efforts that lead to changed lives, but it's inviting the Holy Spirit to be present in the sacred space and encouraging our campers and staff to be open to how God might be at work in their lives and gaining a better understanding of how God is present with each of them every day. So when we invite children and youth to step out of their comfort zones, to leave their homes for a week, to stay with a group of mostly strangers, they learn so many things. New skills, how to trust other safe adults, how to take risks in a way that leads to growth, that there is a God who loves and cares deeply about them, how to form friendships and healthy relationships with their peers, how to deal with, process, and learn from complex emotions when they don't have their parents around, and so much more. And this leads to experiences like I've shared about earlier, when years later they reflect back on their time at camp and often find themselves realizing that they wouldn't be the people they are today without the camp experiences that they've had. We also see the benefits of camp in our staff. Staff at camp generally range in age from 17 to somewhere in their mid to late 20s. The years that they work at camp are extremely formative years where they're navigating often complex experiences in their own lives and are then given the privilege and responsibility of caring for young campers for multiple weeks of the summer. For them, learning how to support a struggling camper, maybe leading an activity or a conversation with a group of campers for the first time, being a role model and an example for those in their care, and many other experiences help to equip them with skills and abilities that prepare them for what's to come in their future. Staff also experience a safe and welcoming community where they learn that it's okay to be vulnerable and share openly about the hard experiences they're facing, and that there will be people who will take the time to listen, care, and support them. They form lasting friendships, and for some of them, lifelong relationships like Amanda and I. We wouldn't be together if it wasn't for Hidden Acres because of their time at camp. They, like the campers, learn about and experience the genuine love of God and how it can impact and shape their lives. And they often look back on their experiences and see how we took chances on them, trusted them with big responsibilities, and that they could do more and offer more than they thought they could. When I think about my experiences as a camper at a camp in New Brunswick where I grew up, and then working at Hidden Acres in my university years, and now as it's my full-time job, there are so many ways that it has influenced and impacted my life. Leading worship, learning how to stand up in front of a crowd and comfortably speak or lead an activity, how to support and care for others, how to trust God is indeed in control and has my best interests in mind even when things get really hard, how to listen well, how to be curious about others and their experiences, how to trust others, how to have hard and uncomfortable conversations that lead to growth and development for myself and others. And I could keep going, but I truly wouldn't be who I am today if it wasn't for camp. These experiences and stories that we've heard so far are the reason why we do this crazy thing called camp. Camp also has an impact in the way that it creates neat intersections and opportunities for collaboration. And one example of this is how The Gathering and Hidden Acres and the Chandler Mowat community mixes together to create opportunities for lives to be impacted and changed. And this morning, I'm excited to have Titi and Zoya, I had Zoya right underneath in the next line, and I just read the wrong name. I'm sorry. I hated that when people did that with my brother and I. I get it. I'm sorry. So Titi and Zafira are going to come and share about their experiences at camp. And unfortunately, Zoya was hoping to be here, but she is sick today and cannot join us. And I first met these three young women at Build-A-Lunch on Wednesday mornings many, many years ago. And this past summer, all three of them, Titi, Zafira, and Zoya, worked at camp, were part of our staff team this summer. And so I'm going to do a little interview with Zafira, and then I'm going to invite Titi to come up and share. So come on up and join me, Zafira. I believe it's probably on. Yeah. So, Zafira, what are your first memories of being at Hidden Acres?
I remember going to camp as a camper. It was probably like 2018, so I don't actually really remember much. I do remember just a bunch of crazy activities, but there's nothing really that just like really sticks. Other than that, when I first got there as like a staff member, I was kind of just like thrown into the mix, so there wasn't really any time to like really learn anything. It was kind of like a learn as you go moment. So, you know, kind of just, you know, chasing kids around and a whole bunch of these stuff like that. Definitely the exhaustion by the end of the day. I did not know you could be that exhausted chasing kids around the entire day until I got there. Sometimes it was fun, other times it wasn't. You wouldn't believe how excited kids would be after you offer them a piggyback. Like, I'd be like, I'll give you a piggyback. And then they're just like, yeah, like, I'll do it. Like, it's something strange, but a lot of piggybacks that summer. And I guess just, like, stuff like that. Just, like, meeting everybody and, like, making, like, new connections, I guess. Other than that, it was kind of just like a, I don't really know how to, like, explain it. It was cool. Just like a.
Yeah. An exhausted, great experience.
Exactly. There you go.
Yes, and it is amazing how tired you can be at the end of a day of camp. So, when did you start thinking that you would like to be on staff at Hidden Acres, and why?
I kind of just got really bored at sitting at home all day and decided, like, I might as well just, like, do something, like, meaningful and, like, kind of, like, get out there. Like, I'd rather be chasing kids around than just sitting in my room, so there's not much to do. So there I was at Hidden Acres doing exactly that, chasing kids around.
Yeah, cool. How has camp positively, oh no, I'm actually going to jump to the next question. What is a favorite memory from being on the Hidden Acres staff team?
Definitely meeting people, especially people that are like international and like kind of came here for work. Shout out to Bep and Sergio, but yeah. Riding around in the Gator, it would be nice if I could drive it this year. We'll Amanda.
See. We'll see. She has no sway.
Please make that happen. 100% working in the kitchen with Cindy. If you don't know who Cindy is, then you're missing out. She definitely makes the best food. I will say I put on a few pounds that summer. It's okay. I lost a few. I would probably say my favorite things are probably French toast casserole and I'll say campout cookies. Campout cookies are great. Other than that, like, working in the kitchen, it's just, like, my favorite part of camp. I love kids, but I'd rather be in the kitchen. I'm more independent. I like to just kind of, like, work alone and, like, do my own thing. So there's that. But, like, other than that, just, like, seeing kids, like, come up to the counter and be like, ew, like, I don't want this. And then be like, hey, just try it. And then there they are, like, back in the line again for seconds. So there's that.
Cool. And how has camp positively impacted your life?
Definitely creating memories with people that you probably wouldn't expect to meet. Learning new skills, especially from Cindy. There's a lot of things that there's an easier way to go about that I probably still use till this day. And also probably say like an independence boost because obviously I like to do stuff by myself. So she'd kind of just like leave a list there. I'd get it done and then be able to not be isolated from everybody else, but kind of just like watch what's going on or like be involved when I not felt like it, but like decided, hey, let's go chase some kids around or something. Something fun.
Awesome. Thanks so much for sharing. Yes. Yeah. And Titi, come on up.
Okay, hi everybody. My name is Itrina, but everybody here knows me as Titi. I was asked a few days ago if I had any words to say about working at Hidden Acres, and then I was asked to make a connection between Hidden Acres and the Gathering Church. And of course, I was like, absolutely, jumped on that. I've mentioned it before, but a large part of my involvement at the Gathering Church has to do with the Breakfast Club. I'm pretty sure Breakfast Club was my earliest memory of Amanda and Chris. Once a week, they'd come in and have breakfast with our community, which was amazing. And it was, Breakfast Club was just a gateway opportunity, a gateway to opportunities for me, and I could not be more thankful for Breakfast Club alone. And then were the community suppers, where Amanda did so much hard work. Thank you. Loved it all, always. And Amanda's family would tag along too, and that's probably where I seen the rest of her family most. Which I also loved. And then summer 2022, Zoya was asked to work at camp. And I was like, wait, I'll tag along too. I was too young. So while Zoya was away working at camp, I was waiting for her to call me at the end of every night and fill me in on how the day went, because I was just so eager to understand and live the camp life. But I knew that the following year, the only place I wanted to be that summer was at camp, and I did everything in my power to make that happen. One part about a summer job at an overnight camp that most other jobs don't provide is such an in-depth community. You meet so many people, from campers to the staff, and even the families of the campers. Summer camps are like a connection spot. You see people you know, you're provided with opportunities to meet people you don't, but it always takes you out of your comfort zone. As strong and as confident as I present myself, the first day with campers was nerve-wracking. Even after the extensive training where I got my well-earned camp name, Twinkle. Thank you, Chris.
Wasn't me.
But taking me out of my comfort zone has provided me the opportunity and the ability to grow. There are so many different personalities and people that you are surrounded with during the summer, and it also provides you practical life experience. But my favorite part of camp, of all, were the extra minutes that I took to focus on just one person, where I got to know a little about one person individually rather than in a group setting, because groups divide attention. My goals were complete when the campers went home screaming, "Bye, Twinkle," and I think at the end of every week, each group of kids I was with took a little piece of me with them, quite literally, because I came to camp with friendship bracelets, left with none, and made some while I was there. But I am beyond excited to return, because those are the moments that count to me.
Thank you so much, Zafira and Titi, for sharing. Yeah, it could have just simply been that, and that would have been enough, in my opinion. But it also wouldn't be a conversation about the impact of camp if we didn't share a little bit about Single Moms Camp and that program that we offer. And we've been offering camps for single moms and their families for over 40 years, and it's one of the most unique and impact-filled programs that we offer. So I'm going to invite Amanda to come up and share about that.
Hi, friends. Thank you for listening to me. I appreciate it. It always gives me so much joy to be able to share about what I really, really deeply love. So thank you. Each summer, I helped to coordinate two separate weeks of camp for low-income single moms and their kids. We define a single mom as being someone without any live-in partner or support. We charge each family $35 for mom, $35 for first child, and $15 for any additional children. However, the program, obviously, is highly subsidized and costs a lot more than that. Marianne in our office crunched numbers. She does every year about how much approximately it costs. And this year she figured it costs about $650 per person that comes to Single Moms Camp as a camper. Which means, yeah, it's a lot more. We depend on donations from individuals and churches, community grants, and we use our own Hidden Acres Camper Subsidy Fund, which we've been building over time. Every year we're amazed and grateful for the funds provided. We see the deep value in offering an affordable experience for these families and believe that by giving them this opportunity, it increases their esteem and dignity, knowing they are able to provide this for themselves and their kids. For some families, this is a lot. It's always a reminder to me as to how privileged I really am. I don't have to make a payment plan for $85 to be able to take my kids on a vacation. This program grounds me as a woman who has a safe shelter, income, and supportive family and community. I have the opportunity to create a week that strives to remove lines and judgment. This allows women and children to be a part of a healthy community where there's a mutual encouragement and the reminder that their lives are valuable. This will be our 43rd year of running Single Moms Camp at Hidden Acres, and it's going very strong. As I reflect on this, a few vivid thoughts come to mind, like how many families have stepped foot on the property over those 43 years? How many flailing legs and arms have done crazy camp song actions? How many cups of coffee have been made and enjoyed over good conversation? How many thrift store shifts with vans full of moms? How many tears shed? How many belly laughs? How many hugs and how many goodbyes have happened over 43 years? What an absolute gift to reflect upon. The impact these families have made on HAC, each other, and our staff is something that many still think of years later. I know I do. The Beatitudes in Matthew have been held very close to my being these past couple years for many reasons. We all live in the same big world, one that is so deeply broken, yet at the same time can be a place of deep joy and hope. In Matthew, Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." I've always interpreted the blessed at the beginning of each promise almost like the word presence, the deep presence of God. The Beatitudes has the power to remind us that regardless of who we are and what we endure, we are seen and not forgotten, that we are not less than based on our life situation. It's a declaration of God's grace, not conditions of salvation or roadmaps to earn entry to God's kingdom. Those who belong to each blessed group experience God's grace because the kingdom of heaven has come near. I've witnessed time and time again the effect that this can have on the beautiful single mother families that come to camp. Single Moms Camp reminds me that not one of us is better than the other. It reminds me of the importance of safe spaces and that God is in all things. It reminds me of the power of listening and hearing the story of another person. It reminds me of the power of belonging, and that joy and pain can in fact coexist, just like Jesus expresses within the Beatitudes. We don't have to look very far or very hard as a camp day passes by to see moments of joy. A mom last year said her biggest take home of the week was just this truth, that joy can happen in her life without feeling guilty. Life is messy, and so many need healing and hope. Yet moments of joy can live alongside the messiness. Joy and pain coexist. Last spring, I took a trauma course at Laurier as a way to better serve the families we welcome each summer. I had many takeaways from this course, too many to name, but I think the one I keep circling back to, which I've known since the day I was a part of Single Moms years ago, is the importance of cultivating a safe space when welcoming those who carry heaviness and trauma. Studies go as far to say that if the environment does not feel safe, healing cannot begin. Trust and safety take time. We're to be patient and to follow the other's lead. Creating a safe space also applies to how we live out our faith. How are we presenting our faith? Does it feel intrusive or inclusive? Do our songs reflect our actions and beliefs? When our common goal is to welcome, I think looking at all areas of what should feel safe is an important part of how we welcome people in. I want to share a story about a mom and daughter that have attended Single Moms Camp for the past 6 years. I remember her first year so well. She always wore a hood up, way up, covering her head and most of her face. She cried almost the entire week. Every time we would sing, chat, meet as a group of women who share such common lives, she just quietly sat and cried. We welcomed it. She felt safe enough to do so. So there I was, just thinking she was a beautifully emotional person, which I thought was strange. I didn't put this in here, but my very first interaction with her, we laugh about it. My very first interaction with her, she grunted, she growled at me. I thought, what is going on? I said, good morning, and she's like, And I was like, okay, not a morning person. Let's just leave that there. Anyway, we laugh about it. I think it's funny. So there I was thinking she was just a beautifully emotional person, which I thought was absolutely okay. Each day I noticed her taking her hood off, a little teeny bit, almost like the walls starting to fall. At the end of that week, she pulled me aside and proceeded to tell me she had not cried in over 15 years. A soul so hardened and broken by abuse and abandonment at a young age was all of a sudden stepping into a place that felt safe and welcoming where she could land. All she could do was cry. And she kept saying, I don't know why I'm crying. I said, well, it's okay. She had not even realized just how much she needed to come into this week for herself because she had put up so many walls around her past. So we all cried with her. We listened. We hugged her when she allowed us to. I remember going home at the end of the week so very thankful that we were able to provide a new space in her life, a space to start to heal, which brought about new beginnings and opportunities for her. She saw the gospel lived out in a non-intrusive way. For someone who had endured such trauma, I believe this to be of such importance that she and others may experience who God is through us in gentle ways, as if God is whispering, take your time. I am here. I am holding your load and caring for you. And when you're ready, I am waiting. Fast forward 3 years, this mom has started college because in her words, she said, camp has given me the ability to believe just for a small window that I am worth it. I'm not worthless. And maybe school can help me see that too. People do the best with what they know. She now knows a new truth in her life, simply because she feels seen and valued. I receive a text a while later that said, guess what? Exclamation marks, all caps. Guess what? It's official. I'm a college graduate. And then she goes, with honors. I sat and cried and I cried. She then proceeded to say, hey, when I come to camp, can you learn to sing this song for us? This woman who hated, those are her words, God, for what she endured. Abuse, abandonment, in and out of foster homes 10 plus times as a kid, asked for a song that speaks of God's deep transformative love, a love that is gentle, kind, and does not abandon her. She continues to text, camp has brought me closer to God. Camp has reminded me of my purpose. Camp has shown me kindness, gratitude, and unconditional love. Camp has allowed a safe space for me to be myself with no judgment. Camp has allowed me to cry and feel my feelings. Camp is my safe space. Camp has allowed my daughter to flourish and have fun. Camp has been supportive and shown me I'm not alone in my pain. neither is my child. You see, she and I never really had a conversation about God. She did not want that and was very honest about that. The first at least 2 years, I think, I respected that. What she did experience was a healthy community rooted in Christ's love. A love that is good. And what a beautiful reminder as we welcome those whom society thinks is less than. God sees them, walks alongside them, and uses us all to help transform lives. In her case, she found a sense of belonging and self-worth, applying to school and creating a better life for her and her daughter, just because they received genuine welcome. God, who remains the same, will forever make things new through others. Her and her daughter have come to camp every summer since the first summer where she hid behind her hood. I will never forget that mental picture. They had their final summer with us last year. I will miss her, mostly her quick wit and laugh, that's for sure. But what I do know, knowing her time with us is finished, is that she'll be okay. Better than okay. She will thrive knowing she's loved, seen, and celebrated. What if we, in the spaces we are in, instead of needing concrete answers, agendas, and certainty all the time, can be okay with simply opening our hands as an act of saying, God, I give this to you, trusting you have it, while simply just creating space for others. May we always hear in those moments, be still and know that I am God. In a world where I think feels like we always need to be doing something or saying something, which don't get me wrong, we need to at times as an act of justice, I think it's easy to allow that to be all we do. What if it's simpler than that? My encouragement to us all, as we continue to move forward in what feels like sometimes such unsettling times, is to intentionally ask yourself where you fit in within the Beatitudes. Where can I be a resting presence of God to someone? And how can I best make this happen with the gifts I've been given? Because we all do it differently. How can I remind someone that the kingdom is indeed theirs as well? In what small way can I allow someone to feel seen, especially someone who may face marginalization on a daily basis? The transformations I have experienced simply by providing a space of welcome and rest for these women has been a gift. It's really hard to put into words. May this be an encouragement to us all to continue to move forward. And may we remember that when we welcome someone in need, believing that God resides there, hope and transformation can take place. Thank you. Stand together. We're going to end with a song called The Kingdom is Yours, which I think most of our church is familiar with, that speaks of the Beatitudes in a little bit of a different way. But may it be an encouragement to you as we leave today.
Blessed are the ones who do not bury all the broken pieces of their enough to show.
I want to thank everyone who participated in this morning. It's so good to hear stories of hope from many. I know this summer, Chris and Amanda continue to give leadership to Hidden Acres Camp. Zoya, Zafira, and Titi are going to be on camp staff. A bunch of kids from the Gathering Church will go as campers. And so just a reminder that we can be praying for Hidden Acres. And for those that we know and for those that we don't know that'll go there. And just as a way of blessing, I just would like us to just extend our hands. We think of Titi and Zafir in the front row and Chris and Amanda. And let's pray. God, we're so thankful for Hidden Acres, God. We're so thankful for the deep, deep roots of Hidden Acres that are rooted in God's love for all, that are rooted in joy, that are rooted in hope, where there is a warm welcome, God, and where lives are transformed. And we're so very, very thankful. God, we ask that you would have your hand over the camp hiring, staff hiring that is going on right now, that there would continue to be young people who are drawn to be staff at camp. We thank you for Titi and for Zoya and Zafira, and ask, God, that you would bless their time this summer as they lead and as they learn, as they come out of their comfort zone, as that they serve in your name, God. And for Chris and Amanda, we are so very, very grateful. Would you strengthen them when they're weary? Would you give them hope that flourishes and grows? And would you be their constant presence and their joy? We're so thankful for them. Amen. From Palm Sunday, which we celebrate today, to Good Friday, when we'll join again, may God in his infinite mercy grant you a journey of renewal and of hope, a time of reflection and joyful anticipation of our Lord's resurrection. May you live and may you serve in remembrance of Christ's love this week. Go in God's peace. Amen.